The murmuring water was only 10 feet below, as J.B. wrapped his legs tighter around the wooden beam and scooted a few more inches along the trestle of the old bridge. Cross braces supported the thick planks above the man, and he moved from joist to joist, desperately grabbing anything solid to maintain his precarious perch above the river. The spray rising from the water made everything slick, and soon soaked his clothes through to the skin. Directly underneath his back, black catfish and rainbow trout darted about in the endless flow, and a winged eel broke the surface, jumping for the dancing sparkles, incorrectly thinking the reflected light was food. Scooting forward another foot, J.B. cursed as a splinter jabbed into his hand, and he bit the end, pulling it loose and spitting it away. Another eel dived for the bloody tidbit and disappeared into the river with its prize. Muttering darkly, J.B. finally reached the middle of the bridge and found the explosive charge. The flat ceramic disc was attached with steel bands bolted to the main timbers, dim telltales winking in the damp shadows. Footsteps sounded on the planks above, and curly black hair framing a scarred face appeared over the edge of the bridge. It took Ryan several moments before he could find the armorer ensconced within the maze of wood.
How's it going?
Found another landmine.
J.B. studied the pre-dark device. Easing his grip on the cross braces, the armorer rested his shoulders on the smooth butt of a joist and traced the outline of the mine with steady fingertips.
Silas is getting really serious with these things. This model is a lot bigger than the last couple we found. Must be 10 pounds of glass here. That would remove the whole bridge and most of the road on either side.
Need anything?
Ryan shook the spray from his face.
Yeah. Turn off the river for a few minutes, will you?
Hugging a cross brace with his left arm, he reached into his shirt and pulled out a pair of needle-nose pliers. A short length of string was tied from the handle of the pliers to the buckle on his belt. An oil lantern came into view at the end of a rope. Christy called from above.
More light?
Got enough, thanks. Problem is, I don't know this mob. Ah, here's the control board. Shit!
There was a splash as the pliers dropped into the river. Immediately, the fish nosed about the item to see if it was edible. Discovering that it wasn't, they angrily slashed fins, spraying mud over the tool, burying it completely.
Bloody string was a good idea.
J.B. started reeling in the pliers on the dripping twine.
You're welcome, lover.
At that angle, she could only see the man by his reflection in the flowing water.
Everybody better move farther away.
A line of color ran along the cracks between the planks, green and red. That was power and a ground wire. He traced them into the shadows and spotted other flat disks hidden amid the timbers.
There seems to be more charges, one at either end of the bridge.
A sandwich formation, nowhere to run.
Looks like the ends are merely charges, no sensors or trips. It's when you reach the middle of the bridge that all three go. Damn good design. Best I've seen.
J.B. snipped a wire and waited for a sudden violent death. But nothing happened. He snipped another. Squatting on the shore, Dean studied the river.
So how do the blues get across?
Ford River. Not deep.
The bottom is too soft. We would be forced to abandon the Hummer. An LAV could make the transition, but not our current mode of transportation.
J.B. levered the beveled plate out of the way.
We can cross the bridge any time, only the Hummer can't. People, horses, most civilian wags would roll over with no trouble. But once the mine senses dense steel overhead, this whole bridge will be matchsticks in a heartbeat.
Can you remove the mine? Let it sink in the river?
A spent round slid from his shirt pocket and disappeared into the water. Ryan was annoyed he had missed the brass. It could just as easily have been a live round, wasted with carelessness. As a reasonable precaution, Ryan had emptied his pockets of anything valuable before leaning over the bridge. J.B. had done the same, his collection of items piled on the floorboards of the Hummer. And just in case the mine was tripped by magnetic fields, Ryan was stripped to the Sig Sauer, no spare clips, and not even a knife in his boot, to keep the metal on his body to an absolute minimum.
Not gonna remove this device without power tools. It's here to stay. Bolted into position 9 different ways. But I have a better plan.
More muttering sounded from under the bridge, along with some hard banging.
Shit!
And another splash. Suddenly, the birds in the trees stopped making noises, and the rest of the companions drew blasters. Straining to hear voices or engines, they waited for a patrol of Blues to arrive. 10 minutes passed before a Stingwing soared from the trees with a fresh kill in its beak. The companions relaxed as the mutie flew away, and the birds began to chirp once more. Ryan eased the safety back on the Sig Sauer when he realized that JB was on the move below the bridge, wiggling quickly between the braces and joists. The one-eyed warrior retreated to the safety of the road, waiting as JB reached the shore and crawled backward onto the grass. Gratefully, the man stood and lifted a thick wad of grayish clay from inside his shirt.
To hell with defusing the mine. I just removed the C4 charge. Let the damn thing ignite. It'll only make a bang that wouldn't chill a fly.
You sure about that?
Mildred handed over a backpack. Extracting dry clothes from within, JB quickly changed, using stiff fingers to smooth his damp hair. Then, donning his dry fedora, he slid the Uzi over his shoulder.
Well, just in case, I'll drive the Hummer over alone.
Already at the wag, Ryan started the engine and stepped away from the Hummer. A stick was pressed against the gas pedal, and a piece of rope held the steering wheel steady. At a leisurely pace, the armored vehicle slowly rolled across the expanse of the wooden bridge, veering a little off course toward the edge, but nothing dangerous. As the wag reached the middle, there was a sharp explosion, and debris sprayed into the river, churning the surface and scaring away the fish. Smoke blew away from the support beams, but nothing else occurred, and the Hummer reached the other side intact. Sprinting forward, Ryan claimed the Hummer before it got too far away and turned off the engine. Ryan untied the knotted rope and threw away the stick.
It's safe. Let's go.
Walking over, the companions piled their belongings into the rear of the Hummer and took seats. Jack took the gunner position at the M60, and Doc stretched his long legs in the cargo area. Taking the front seat, JB laid the Uzi on the floor and started carving the lump of plastique into fat bricks. Gently, he wrapped each separately in a piece of a blue shirt taken off a corpse and tucked the bricks into his munitions bag. He patted the bag contentedly.
Can blow a lot of locks with this. Good for starting fires in the rain, too.
Plas?
Sure. Most explosives will simply burn if they're not inside a container. You need a primer for TNT, or even a gunshot wouldn't set it off. An electric charge or a small explosion makes C4 detonate, but fire only causes it to burn like coal.
Starting the warm engines, Ryan checked the fuel gauge, noting the low level, and they headed into the deadly green hills once more. So far, they had found mines on every bridge, and on a flat stretch of ground, there had been a collection of blood-stained crosses lining the road, rotting corpses, without eyes or genitalia, brutally nailed to the upright timbers. Oddly, the dead were all facing eastward, toward the Ville of the Blue Shirts. It was a clear warning about the dangers of leaving. The mines were a more direct warning about entering the valley.
And this is the back door.
Silas didn't believe in half measures. Remember those homemade muties of his?
Nasty.
Maybe we should leave the roads. Take to the woods.
Can't. The trees are too close. The slope's too sharp. No way we can drive through these hills. Even walking would be a bitch. We're stuck with the roads until reaching flatter country.
JB rested an arm out the window of the Hummer.
Besides, there could be patrols in the hills. Landmines are easier to avoid than sectmen.
Jack shook the length of linked ammo to straighten a kink.
Prefer sectmen. Mine's always shot. Blues fall asleep sometimes.
Doc slid a length of razor-sharp sword from his ebony stick and slammed it back inside.
Only once, my friend. And then never again.
Its 8 wheels churning out grass and dirt, the armored bulk of the LAB-25 rolled to a stop near the edge of the quarry. Sekhmen rushed to open the rear doors, and Silas hobbled from the war wag, stiffly walking to the ragged end of the land, above the abyss.
What in hell happened here? Were we attacked?
Major Sheffield stared at the jumble of broken rock that rose halfway to the surface.
The damn fools must have set off the TNT.